miss out on what you're passing. You're missing the previews of the movie reviews. I know those other podcasts make you buy a ticket, but come on, while Bob and Ed start to kick it, talk about the actors striding, directors are hiding. Grab some popcorn when you see them driving by, watching all the credits, making sure that you get it. Acting kind of loco, they're just a couple brothers, watch a bunch of movies and they talk to each other.
It's Sunday, March 27th, 2016, and this is Bob and Ed's Movie Podcast.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Ed.
Well, we got a correction actually from last week.
Something from the corrections department, huh?
Yep, fresh from the corrections department. Now that we actually got listeners. It's actually Ken Casey's the subject of Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. It's written by Tom Wolfe.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, so we got that out of the way. So the corrections department can get back to doing what they need to do.
Exactly.
So it sounds like this is going to be a maybe almost a special episode. It's just going to be exclusively Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. So that's all we're going to talk about. We'll give our shorthand Cliff Notes review, and then we'll get into... warning spoilers ahead area, so that way if you haven't watched it, you can just hear what we think about it, and then you don't have to worry about being spoiled.
Exactly.
So you literally just got back from it, so since it's fresh in your mind and I don't know what you're and what you think of it, I'm excited. What'd you think of it?
I was entertained. After I had found out what its Rotten Tomato score was, I was expecting Green Lantern.
And yes, because the Rotten Tomato score is like, I haven't checked today. Last thing I checked, it was 31, I think.
Oh, it's even got less than when I looked.
Yeah, it just keeps going down, which we'll talk about. I'll talk about in a minute, but yeah, it just keeps going down.
But I was entertained. I enjoyed it. Is it great? No. There's a lot of, but why? You know, why did he do this? Why did he do that? You know?
Yes.
But overall, it was entertaining. I'd probably give it a 6 out of 10, but.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I said in my review the only reason why I gave it a 7 out of 10 is I didn't feel like revising my Man of Steel review, which is already at 6 out of 10, because I think that this movie's better than Man of Steel, and I didn't want to give him the same review, and I didn't really feel like making Man of Steel a 5 out of 10. If we go to out of 100, Man of Steel's like a 60, and this movie's like a 66. So it just gets the, you know, round up thing. That's what it is to me. I mean, if we're gonna get into that kind of,
it's still a passing score, but barely.
Yes, you do get passing credit. This movie gets passing credit and gets to move on to the next, only by the skin of its teeth. Now, only by you know, for me, only because of the third act. The first two acts, I just thought were.
Third act is what saved it for me.
Yes. Yeah, so, right now, just looking at right now, it's at 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, which that's inexplicable to me. It's not that bad of a movie. Let's not get crazy.
That's the problem with Rotten Tomato. It's if everyone just thinks it's a mediocre film, that score drops a lot.
Yes, Rotten Tomatoes is kind of bad for the you know, it's an okay film. Type films, because like you said, if everyone was expecting a little bit more, they'll give it a negative review. When it's like, well, I mean, is it a horrible movie? No. Okay, well then it shouldn't be, you know, that low. It shouldn't be certified rotten. It should just be in that weird, you know, in the ether of 50 to 60, you know, or the 60 to 70 area, where it's like, is that fresh? Is it rotten? That's where it should exist.
If you watched Man of Steel and you were looking forward to this film, go watch it. You're going to be entertained.
Oh, definitely.
If you hated Man of Steel, you're going to hate this one.
Yes, I would say that. If you thought Man of Steel was the worst superhero movie ever, and I've seen some reviewers who thought that up until this point, Man of Steel was the worst superhero movie ever, which is like, okay, that's hyperbole.
Obviously, they didn't see X-Men 3.
I was gonna say they didn't see X-Men Origins Wolverine. They didn't watch Spider-Man 3. They didn't watch. Let's see, what are some of the other ones? Green Lantern. All those movies are, they are unwatchable. And meaning, I've tried to watch them, and it's like, ugh, I can't fast forward. I can't even watch this. This is horrible. It's not in those territories. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the people are like, this is the greatest superhero movie ever. It's like, let's. Come on, tone it down a little bit. It's not, there's a lot of problems with this movie.
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, like you said, if unless you thought that Man of Steel was the worst movie ever, you'll probably be entertained. And if you see it, if you see it at the theater, it's yeah, I mean
It's worth the
there are
price of
some,
admission.
yeah, and there were some points in the movie that we'll talk about in the spoiler, where I mean, actually seeing it in the theater was pretty cool because of the reaction of the crowd. It was like that was really cool of how the crowd reacted to some scenes, and we'll talk about those scenes in the spo after spoiler alert. But there was some. It was really cool to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
So I would actually recommend seeing this in the theater. I would say temper your expectations. If you could go to a theater that serves alcohol, maybe. Maybe have a drink or two before you watch it. By the time the alcohol wears off, it'll be time for the good part of the film.
That's
If
probably
you're
the best.
running late, don't worry. You'll be
That's
fine.
true. You'll be fine. So I think that's it for the non-spoiler part.
Yes.
So
So,
warnings, if you're
yep.
done,
Warning, yep, warning, here be spoilers. You've been warned.
I
I
abandon
don't
all
want to see a
hope.
comment. Yep, I don't want to see a comment or hear someone's complain that you spoiled the movie. It's like, too bad. I think we've given you plenty of time to get to your device of choice to click, stop, pause, forward, whatever. So go on. Well, since you've seen it most recently, you'll help me remember some of the stuff I hated. So go on. What did you want to, what did you think? Spoiler wise.
One of my issues was the dream sequences.
Oh my God, how many? I lost count.
I lost count, but here's one of the notes that I have about it. I actually wrote down notes.
Oh, cool.
Dream sequences. Didn't like any of them except for the Kevin Costner one, and even that one could have been done with a flashback, not a dream sequence.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you said that one because that one kind of bothered me. It was like, wait, are you. Is your dad talking to you as a ghost and he's telling you the story? Or is this a story that you already knew? Why did you need to fly to the North Pole in order to remember this story that he told you? You should have already known it.
And
Yeah, a flashback would have been better than the dream sequence. It didn't make any sense to me.
that didn't make sense. And that was one of those, like, I didn't think that as a dream sequence thing, it failed.
Yes.
It should have been a fantasy. So really all the dream sequences. Also, I realized that you needed the dream sequences, otherwise the first two-thirds of the film would be really, 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 really boring.
Well, too late. That was what it was. I
Well,
mean,
here.
I get the. I mean, unless what they're trying to do is get you in the mood for the dream sequence, so you could get to that. Was this a dream sequence, or was this, a foreshadowing of the future, Flashpoint style, or was this a merging of, merging of realities, and he's seeing a different reality, when it's the fighting the army of Superman and he gets captured and all that. It was un Even then, it was like, this is unclear. And you didn't need the other dream sequences, just have that happen. I don't.
I do have to say that one of the dream sequences where the bat thing jumps out of the coffin.
Funny, I was in the bathroom when that
Oh,
happened.
guy next to me jumped.
Really?
Yeah.
I've read about it. Yeah, something like Man Bat jumps out of the coffin, right?
Jumps out. And it was just all like, to me, I was just like, oh, another dream sequence. And then
Yes.
that happens, and I went, oh, it's still not worth it.
The dream sequences, there was just too many. That I mean, I get the one that, like I said, that I don't know if you even caught it when Batman is standing looking over the destruction of what's left of the city, and he sees the great, you know, the desert almost, that there's a symbol for Darkseid in the landscape. Did you happen to see that?
I missed that.
Yeah, I missed it the first time. It wasn't until I went back and was like watching other, you know, Easter eggs you probably missed, because that was one of them that we all missed. But yeah, there's a giant Omega symbol in the implanted on Earth, and that's the symbol for Darkseid. And then of course all the flying Darkseid creatures were, you know, picking people up.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was indicating it was all a warning, not so much a dream. And that was the one that immediately after, it looks like Flash is showing up trying to talk to him, you know, a la Crisis on Infinite Earths, where Flash is, you know, shows up to Batman and tells him stuff and then disappears.
Yeah.
But they could have done without the dream sequences. I mean, I like the beginning where it was like, okay, we're going to tell Batman's story in the credits.
Yes.
I know Zack Snyder got that from when he did that in Watchmen, where it's like, oh, that's cool. During the credits, that's when we can tell all these, you know, this story. We don't need to tell any more. But then it's like they just kept going back to it. Ugh. I swear. Whatever.
Yeah. And then my next major note is just Batman kills.
Yeah. I know it's been pointed out that Batman kills in just about every other Batman movie, and we just kind of forget about it. Which is true. If you go back and look at all the other ones, like, wow, he does kill a lot of people. I know. It's his use of guns is a little too liberal. That's not the character. The whole point is that he doesn't use guns, but, you know, as also was pointed out in Frank Miller's Dark Knight, he was using a gun in that. So
that's true.
Well, I don't know. Still think that kind of misses the point of the character.
Kind of misses also the point of the whole character on how he complains about, you know, innocent people dying. And it's just like, you're kind of killing people left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, it does kind of miss the point there. And I don't know. And for me, the whole, I didn't quite get what the Senate hearing was about. I mean, so they think that he possibly shot some, that Superman possibly shot some terrorist. And so now they're bringing him in front of a hearing. What? I didn't get what was, maybe I missed it, but it's like, I don't understand what they're bringing all people, those people up for. It was, why don't you just talk about what happened in the Metropolis? How about that?
Yeah. Why bring up somebody in a different country?
What was the point of that? And what, they thought that he shot somebody? That whole storyline didn't make any sense. I didn't quite get, okay, so she digs the bullet out of the book and finds the bullet, but it's like, well, they were shooting the same bullets everywhere. All those bullets were everywhere. And if Jimmy Olsen, CIA agent, which was also kind of bizarre, I mean, if he was there to track where the terrorist was, the CIA operatives would have showed up. I didn't, that whole scene didn't make any sense to me. I didn't get what they were trying to do.
Yeah, because the CIA would have just bombed the area.
Yeah, I didn't get, you know, once Superman left, they would just come in and boom, everything's gone. A drone would have shown up, dropped a bomb, everything's gone. And there wouldn't have been anyone to complain about Superman doing stuff. I didn't quite understand. I didn't understand that at all. Side note, the main Russian guy, did you realize that's KG Beast?
Is that who they were supposed to be?
Yeah, that's who he's supposed to be. I was just looking on some other spoilers, and they were like, oh, Antonio blah, blah, blah is in the comics is KG Beast. It's like, oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. That's a better use of him than they used for Jimmy Olsen, which I just realized that's who, you know, was taking the photos was Jimmy Olsen, and he's dead in the Superman universe. Well, that was a waste of a character, I guess. I guess they wanted to mention him and then kill him.
And why? Jimmy Olsen's CIA agent. All right.
Yeah, it's that was bizarre. Like I said, that whole opening scene with them being there, I just thought was super bizarre. And it's like, as long as this movie was, and as much as like they just went over and over and over stuff, they just kind of gloss over the fact that that Superman and Lois are just like, you know, close to getting married. I didn't think we left them off that close at Man of Steel, and now all of a sudden they're living together and you know and whatnot, and we don't even get like a, there's no even exposition.
It's been 18 months.
I know it's been 18 months, but it just seems like we got exposition about everything else, and just like, ah, whatever, you know. Now they're together. They're together. They're together. You know, I don't know. It just that felt kind of weird. It's like, oh, I guess we're a thing. Okay.
And even that ring bit near the end, it was one of many endings.
Yes, it was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King style. Okay, that's the ending. Nope. Okay, that's the ending. Nope. Okay, that's the ending. Nope. That's the ending. Nope. He's just pick an ending. Could have ended so many times. It was ridiculous. But now we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's see. What else was there in the beginning of the film that there wasn't enough Jeremy Irons? That whole thing was cool. Alfred the Tinkerer. I thought that was super cool. Alfred works on all the equipment, gets everything ready. The voice modulator that he was working on. It's like, oh, that's so cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And we didn't get enough of it. It's a super long film. We didn't get enough of just them interacting. I guess, you know, yet again, a missed opportunity in the Zack Snyder Superman film, or hero film.
Well, I think one of the issues, and it's they try to do too much in a single film.
Yes.
If you had introduced Alfred and the Batman and all this in a solo film and then had them fight, I think they would have done better.
Yeah, possibly. I think they tried to just jump into the, I mean, this is almost like Justice League Zero as opposed to maybe necessarily a Batman Superman film. Yeah.
Because they introduced briefly the Flash, and
which I didn't like. I didn't like those introductions. I didn't like them at all. I mean, it's like, I guess they're trying to say that all those characters have those symbols already and already have costumes, and that's where you got those symbols. Because if that's not the way it is, then it's going to be really bizarre if everyone just happens to take the symbols that Lex Luthor came up with. They weren't enough. I mean, it was cool to see Aquaman. That was kind of cool. The Flash thing was like, eh, whatever. And then the Cyborg thing was just confusing. Like, we're just jumped in the middle of it. And like, wait, is he Cyborg? Has he been Cyborg? And this is how he became Cyborg? I didn't like that. I mean, because the average fan is going to be like, the average moviegoer is even more confused than me. They're just going to look at it and go, I have no idea. What is that? What's going on? What's that thing? You know, you didn't explain it. More questions than.
Based on the reaction of the dudes next to me, yeah, they were confused.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like, who the hell was that?
Yeah, I mean, it could have just clicked on, shown that they have the files, clicked on Wonder Woman. That's all you see. And then, you know, that way you know there's others, just because, I mean, we're not. I don't think we're that stupid that they couldn't figure out, oh, if the WW is Wonder Woman and there's three others, that means there's probably three other people. I wonder who they are. Well, we'll find out in the next movie.
Yeah,
you could have just cut all that out.
For a film that's running long,
Yes. The editing was just horrible. Cut some of it. There's so much extra fluff. There was a scene that went from Superman talking to, I don't even know who Superman was talking to Batman thinking, you know, being morose in the burned out husk of his mansion. And the transition between that was Alfred walking in a field of grain, it looked like, gladiator style. And then it went to the mansion. I mean, that was like a perfect example. I just wanted to shout out, like, cut that shit. You know, why? It's already 2.5 hours. You don't need to see Alfred walking through a field. Just cut it. I know it's only a couple seconds, but that stuff adds up over a course of a 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, just cut it. Who cares?
And why was the Wayne Manor all burned out?
I guess they were implying that it was from that this is the Nolanverse, only Batman came back.
Yeah, but remember, it was rebuilt.
That's true. Maybe it's the Nolanverse and it diverged from Batman Begins? I don't know. You're right. It was rebuilt. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It's a lot of like, but why and who?
Yeah, you're right. It was why is it? I don't know. I don't know at all.
Don't show me stuff that's not needed.
Yeah. I mean, that was an example. I mean, he could have easily done that someplace else. I mean, why show the Wayne Manor like that? Unless, I don't know. I really don't know. That's the problem. It's like we're really into this stuff, and we just like, you know, people ask us, a question. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. Zack Snyder knows. Unfortunately, he didn't tell anybody, including the audience. There was a number of things that bugged. There was more stuff that bugged me. The Perry White assigning Clark Kent journalist two stories. One, the Lex Luthor charity event, and a story about a football team. Okay, the Redlands Daily Facts has departments that are split up where that wouldn't happen. And that's a small podunk paper. One of the largest papers in the world would not have anyone under any circumstance as someone doing those two stories. That just bugged me to death. Like, what? You couldn't have had him working on some other story that that would be similar. Look, don't talk about this. Talk about, some other aspect of crime. You know, this, you know, why have him do a football story? It made no sense to me. I know that's nitpicking, but ugh.
But
even then,
it was just like, what, huh? So he's the sports reporter?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, is he a sports reporter now?
Because that's what I thought when they said that. I'm like, well, that's a weird choice that they have Clark Kent as a sports reporter. You know?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's being sent to the gala. It's like, okay, well, then he's not a sports reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just things like that where it's like, oh, it's just so lazy.
And then it's one of those, your sports reporter is also known by Lex Luthor. What?
Yeah, I didn't quite get even that scene where it was like, you know, we get the previews of like, oh, finally Clark Kent reporter meets Bruce Wayne, head of, you know, industry. Why would Lex care about that?
Yeah,
what I mean? It's like it didn't. I thought there was something, you know, where I mean, it would have been more interesting had Clark Kent been writing a story about Bruce Wayne. Yeah, or the
Wayne Foundation, or
Wayne Foundation
had written an entire thing about Wayne Foundation, or done a series of stories about Wayne. Like that would have been interesting. Like
exactly,
them or never like, meeting, and then them meeting that point, that would have made more sense.
Yeah, or maybe Wayne Tech has a military division, and he's writing a story about how, you know, everyone wants to talk about the Wayne Foundation, but they never want to talk about the weapons that, you know, Wayne Tech makes and sells to third world countries. You know, and then like you said, then now he's, oh, how interesting, you know, Bruce Wayne finally meets Clark Kent. You know, it's like, you picked a fight with the wrong guy. You know, that would have been more interesting. But that scene was, I said in my review, get used to the word contrived. To me, that was contrived. It was like, why was Clark Kent at that gala? Especially when the last thing we saw was you should be writing a story on a football team. Okay, so then why is Clark Kent at the gala?
Yeah, I don't remember there was a scene where Perry goes, you're covering the gala.
Yeah, he just shows up.
Yeah.
And then wants to know, and then later on says, where's the story on the gala? It's like, well.
It also doesn't help that he's like, who's that? Oh, you don't know Bruce Wayne? It's like, if you're at that gala and you're a reporter, maybe you should recognize everyone that might be going to it.
Yeah. And then which also undermines the later on, Clark Kent meets Bruce Wayne. Well, up until about an hour ago, Clark Kent didn't even know who Bruce Wayne was. So, you know, you just made it seem like the two didn't know each other. And now Lex Luthor is excited about the two meeting. It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
Why you just made a point of like just a few minutes ago. It's like, you know, look down. It's in the script. It says that he said he didn't know who he was. Now, it would have been more interesting to ask who Wonder Woman was, because she was there, and that would have been interesting had Clark Kent said, who's that? And then that would have gone back to when Bruce Wayne is talking to Clark Kent and he gets distracted by her. Then it would have been like, oh, both of them notice
who
Wonder Woman is, but are both extremely interested in who Wonder Woman is. And then that would have made us be even more interested in, well, who is this? Oh, who is this person? I mean, we already know.
We know, but it would be an interesting way to introduce her.
Yes. I mean, he kind of got it right with Bruce Wayne being interested in her, and then her, you know, interacting with him and, you know, taking the mystery box.
Which you didn't have to change the Bruce Wayne aspect of things.
Yeah, you just had to change the Clark Kent aspect of it. It
would have been like one scene. Who's that? And the other reporter going, you know what? I don't know. Like,
yeah, then that would have been interesting. Or just said, it's an ambassador or it's someone from, you know, we're not 100% sure, you know, or maybe even mention, I think, you know, Perry didn't say, or even have Perry say there's a new ambassador showing up. Or we've been told a new ambassador might show up, or we're told that someone else might show up, go to the gala, get what you can on Lex Luthor, but also see if you can find out about this new, you know, socialite or ambassador or whatever you want to make her. And then that means now Clark Kent's interested, and now, of course, Bruce Wayne's interested, and now they're both interested in her, but they don't know who she is.
Yeah.
And we could have had scenes where Clark Kent is trying to talk to her, and she's not saying who she is or giving much info.
Which would have been also interesting scene if you had a Jimmy Olsen trying to take a photo, and she's avoiding the photo.
Yeah, and she's always imagining the photo. And it could have even gone into that, like, of the mystery of, do we have any photos of her? It's like, that's the thing. We don't have any photos of her. And that would have made it more interesting of, that's why she wants to get those photos back, because no one has photos of her.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been so much more interesting. Instead, we get what we got, which was, you know, which what we got. Go on.
Well, I want to go back over that photo. So she was there in town to try to get the photo back from Lex. Bruce sends her the photo, and then she's on a plane to leave?
I guess.
Why? Once again, why? I don't know.
That's all. I guess that's all she wanted. I don't.
Was
it a copy
of the photo? Like,
I mean, it was an old photo. So, I mean, if he had the digital file of the photo, I mean, presumably there's an actual photo someplace.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the digital came from. I mean, they don't have a you know, there wasn't a digital camera and did I see that right? It was World War I?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're gonna say Steve Trevor is from World War I? I wonder why they made that choice.
Yeah, because she mentioned she was gone for 100 years.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. So I guess the Wonder Woman movie is going to take place during World War I and not World War II. That's going to be interesting. Whatever.
I actually think it makes it more interesting, but.
That also means that Steve Trevor's not a current character, but going to be a flashback character.
I guess.
I guess, unless you say that like that was his grandfather, it's like, wow, you look a lot like your grandfather, or great grandfather, whatever. I also kind of getting back to the Senate hearing. I think they also missed an opportunity on the Senate hearing. Instead of questioning, they just took like a if they just took a slightly different angle, if they would have brought him up there to question, you saved all these people, but all these people in Metropolis died, and just really grinding on the fact that you allowed all these people to die and why. And then Superman could have gone into, kind of gone back of, it's like, said gone something along the lines of, it's like I know they're dying. It's like as I'm talking to you, I can see a man just got shot. I can hear that a woman just got stabbed by her ex-husband. And whatever. It's like me just talking to you means that people are dying. And you don't think that I don't know that? And that could have been a good back and forth of, you allow people to die, you don't care. And it's like, I can't care because if I do, I'm always reminded that when I sleep, people die. When I'm walking among you, people die. When I'm standing here talking to you, people die that I could have saved. And, kind of gone along, I don't know if you ever read the Astro City comics, but there was one about basically Superman where it really went into that of, every time he's saving someone, he could see and can hear other people die that he could have saved. So he's constantly choosing, it's like I'm constantly making the choice of who is going to be saved and who is going to be, am I going to let die? And it's like, it's like you don't understand, it's like you don't understand what that is to live, to live with, and maybe even can go into, maybe even throw it back even on the audience of, if you're walking to a job interview that you think you're going to get and you're wearing a new suit and you see a child drowning in a pond, what are you going to do, Senator? Are you going to jump in and save that child and risk the chance of your new job and ruin your suit? And the senator's going to say, of course. It's like, okay, you did that for one child. It's like 20,000 children die in Africa every year of hunger. Have you donated at least a suit's worth of money every day? It's like, why?
Yeah, that would
You're
have been.
allowing, now it's like you're allowing people to die. You're making the same choice I do, only now you're upset that I do it. And then you could have really like, wow, this is, you're making a point.
That's the
It's like
point.
this,
You're making a point. You're
yeah,
doing.
you're making, yeah, it's a superhero movie, but now it's like it's forcing people through a superhero movie to think about their lives and what it means. And that's your opportunity. Instead, we get in this, I don't even know what it was. It was,
It was him not saying a single word.
yeah. I
And
mean,
then
that
Trump
wasn't,
goes up.
I do have to admit, as much as I thought the entire scene was contrived, that moment of everything's blowing up and he's standing there unhurt and he closes his eyes like he just realizes what happened. Like, oh my, I've just been set up. And I thought that was that particular point, like that very moment was like, that was a cool scene. Everything that led up to it was horrible.
Yeah, that was cool. I was
Them
actually,
throwing away the Mercy character, that's Lex Luthor's assistant,
I
which
was
is
shocked that they
such
never.
a cool character in the cartoon. Because it was like, please let her be an android. Please let her be an android. That'd be so cool.
That way she comes back because that's
Oh,
a great
maybe that is.
character.
Yeah, maybe she will come back in the next one. It's like, I thought she died. It's like, that she defends him. I God, that would have been such a cool. that would have been such a cool thing. And yet they, you know, again, a missed opportunity. And even all of that was like, I just thought it was so bizarre. Of one, did Lex Luthor know about Bruce Wayne sending those checks and stop them? Or did that guy purposely send all those things back? Then Lex Luthor was the last one to send the last check back? And I don't understand why the guy wasn't cashing his check. Bruce Wayne saved him and paid him. And so he wasn't going to cash the checks because he's mad at Superman?
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it didn't make – it's like, I don't understand why – what was the motivation of that guy? Why was he so mad at Bruce Wayne? Bruce Wayne literally saved him. I mean, it's – he like went out of his way. He was the one who lifted it up the girder to save him. I can see why he's mad at Superman, but why would he not cash? Why would he be so mad at Bruce Wayne? It didn't make any sense. I guess you could say he was crazy, but they didn't get into that.
They didn't explain that enough.
Yeah, I mean, I understood. I would understand his resentment for
Superman,
but why would he
all the checks?
Yeah, why would he resent Batman? I mean, why would he resent Bruce Wayne? Like I said, it's like, why would you resent the person who literally saved you, then say, I'm going to take care of you, you know, since Superman did this to you, I'm going to take care of you. Why would you like, no, I hate you too. What?
Which I thought was actually a waste of a good actor.
Yes. There was a waste of a number of actors in this. There was too much of a, you know, reunion tour aspect of, we got to make sure that everyone we've ever seen shows up, and that I didn't particularly care for that. You know, then that gets back to the Kevin Costner showing up. I was like, what? Did he really need to show up?
He could have showed up, but in a different way, like a flashback.
Yeah, I didn't.
Told the story.
I didn't get why Martha Kent. Why was she working in the diner again?
That made no sense.
I mean, she still has the farm. So, I mean, shouldn't she be like overseeing the farm? I mean, because they were still living there. So, Clark can't, I mean, is Clark not helping her? They didn't mention any money troubles. I mean, why would she be
working at a diner?
Yeah, why would she be working at a diner? You know, closing shift. I don't know. And I'm still not 100% sure I understand all the hate for Superman for what happened. I mean, Zod's the one that showed up, you know, and did all this stuff. Superman stopped him.
Not only that, Superman really didn't show up and do anything until Zod showed up.
Yes.
And got called out.
Yes. And he's like, fine. You know, I was trying to like not make a big deal about it, but fine, I'll do this. And even like gave himself up. And then Zod still started all this stuff, so Superman stopped him. I didn't quite get. And also, you know, it's been 18 months. You know, Superman didn't want to, like, I don't know, pick up some of that stuff at some point. I mean, he just left all that stuff laying around. You know, the planet destruction machine in the Indian Ocean? I'm just going to leave it there. Alien ship that's in Central Park? I'll just leave it there. Whatever. I don't care. You know, do whatever you want, guys. I don't care.
Have fun with my technology.
Have fun with my technology. I couldn't imagine how this could ever go against me. He wouldn't have picked up the ship and taken it back to the. I mean, there's stuff on there. I mean, he knew there was stuff on there, like the stuff to, you know, bring his people back. I mean, that's not something that you might want to, I don't know, stick in the Fortress of Solitude. Might not want to fire up a bunch of Kryptonians, but I mean, at least you want to have like all the potential babies, you know, someplace other than Central Park.
Also, like, basically it's their Hall of Records type.
Yeah. Obviously, they had a ton of stuff. You know, there's a possibility, maybe not everything that your dad knew was in, you know, in your Fortress of Solitude, maybe there's other stuff on the ship. Maybe you want to take that back and like have all the stuff combined, and maybe they can work together. Maybe you'll need that. Maybe, you know, your little robot guys can maybe repair the ship, because you might, you never know when you might need it. Maybe you need to go and take off to some other planet for some reason. It just, and in that whole thing, it's like, and then just like Lex Luthor, this advanced technology, and all they need is a fingerprint. And it's like, well, you got the fingerprint. This says Zod. So although Zod's not speaking Kryptonian, he's speaking English, but we're just going to go ahead and go with it. Cause I mean, no one can possibly get through that door unless he had that fingerprint. And they have protocols like, oh, we don't do this. This is not something we do. Override those protocols. Okay, that's cool. We'll do that. Yeah, yeah. You said override, and I mean, since you're standing here talking to us, I mean, you couldn't possibly be someone that, you know, bypassed security. So, you know, we'll just go ahead and do this. That didn't make any sense to me at all. Yeah. Not at all. And I didn't like Jesse. More I think about it, I just didn't like Jesse Eisenberg as Luthor. He played it like a Joker, I thought.
I've heard rumors that he basically. Do you know who Max Landis is?
Max Landis is John Landis's son, the one that didn't he write World War Z? Or am I thinking someone else?
No, you're thinking of Max Brooks.
I'm thinking Max Brooks, Max Landis, but Max Landis is a director, right?
Yeah. Well, he wrote Chronicles, and he wrote.
Okay.
American Ultra, and
yes,
which
yes.
Starred Jesse Eisenberg. From what I understand, it kind of comes across as he was basically doing a Max Landis impression, which, based on interviews of Max Landis, I went, I could see that.
But why would he do that?
Because Max Landis is weird.
Yeah, but why would you think that would be
a good choice?
Yeah, a good choice for Lex Luthor.
I don't know.
I mean, I've always thought that the best Lex Luthor was Clancy Brown on the cartoons. That he played him correctly. That's Lex Luthor. Is he knows exactly what he wants. He's very calm, except for when things go incredibly not right. And then he's incredibly not calm. He just didn't play it this way. I mean, he played it like, I mean, he was almost crazy. And Lex Luthor is not crazy. Lex Luthor is the hero of his story.
Yeah, he wants to be president.
Yeah, he wants to rule everything through order. And he just doesn't think that Superman gets in the way of order, because he's random and he's chaotic, and so, you know, definitely Batman. I mean, all those characters are just not, you know, that's not order. And it's, you know, good and evil aren't necessarily, you know, good and evil are different aspects of order, Lex Luthor is order, but this is not. Lex Luthor in this one was the exact opposite almost. He was chaos. I don't know what's happening. You know, we'll see what happens. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I didn't like it.
It leads to our conversation from last week. It's a good villain is somebody that you can go, I can understand where he's coming from.
Yes. Yes. That's But you couldn't from Lex Luthor.
No.
Lex Luthor was, he played it so campy and so like, I'm obviously a villain here. I'm not trying to do anything. And that's not, you know, you should be able to see a little twinge of, all right, I get what he's trying to do and everything that Lex Luthor is doing. You know, he thinks this is a way to save humanity. This is the way he, you know, thinks it's to get order, to make things better. He's not trying to enslave everybody. He's, you know, it's just freedom means something different to everybody. And you know, he could really get into that. You know, yet another opportunity that you could have talked about something, a difference of opinion of what things mean. I mean, you could have gotten into, you know, there you could have had Lex Luthor represent the, you know, freedom versus security. You know, you could really get into that argument. And Lex Luthor could have really represented the security. You know, it's having an alien here does not make us secure.
And yeah, which is kind of almost kind of what they were going for.
They went out the rails.
Yeah, they
just completely went out the rails. There was a lot that they could have done in those first two acts. Now, I don't know about yours, your theater, but I can tell you this. This is one of the reasons why it was really cool to be in a theater when watching this film. You could feel the excitement in the theater when Wonder Woman showed up.
Oh,
and it was really cool, you know, when that happened. When it's like, wow, this is a different feeling. You know, it's that I don't know if I've ever really felt before of like people like they really were genuinely excited when Wonder Woman showed up.
Yeah, it happened in my theater also.
That's cool. It was just so cool.
Yeah, she pops down with the, you know, her bracelets, and it was just like the crowd kind of made like all saying like. Like, okay, now I'm interested. Yeah.
Finally, we're interested in somebody, and that was really cool. Side note, because this kind of ties into this as well. I saw it at this movie at the new theater in Redlands. It's a Harkins theater. So this was the opening night for the theater. And so we were watching a film in this particular, you know, it's 18 theaters or whatever. So we were in Theater 9. So this is the first time anything's been shown in Theater 9. So it's at 7:30, and that's when the movie's for. And it's a little past 7:30, and we're like, what's going on? You know, it's like, this is the first theater. And like, there's no other shows. You're like, start the movie. All of a sudden, here comes a group of people. There's a guy, and there's like someone dressed as Batman, someone dressed as Superman. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like, hi, I'm Dan Harkin. I own Harkin's Theater. This is my theater. It was like, oh my God.
Wow.
This is like, you're literally like Harkin's Theater. This is your theater. It's like, yeah, this is the largest family-owned theater chain in the country. We're really excited to be part of Redlands. We're really happy that you let us in. You know, here's my wife and kids. The front row is my cousin. Say hi, everybody. And so it was really cool, like to like, oh wow, this is a really different. Like I've never experienced anything like this in a movie, of like, hey, you know, welcoming everyone here. And they're like, we got Superman here, got Batman here. And I said, how many people think Superman's gonna win? You know, a bunch of people raised their hand. How many people think Batman's gonna win? And like me, all the people correctly said Batman. and it's like, it looks like it's about even. And someone, this is so cool. Someone goes, what about Wonder Woman? And it's like a bunch of people raise their hand, Wonder Woman's gonna win. It was like, oh, this is so cool. You know, all those movie executives that said that like a female character could, you know, superhero character couldn't drive anything. It's like, really? Because it seems like people are very interested in Wonder Woman. and so then that really came back to when Wonder Woman shows up. And I thought it was neat too. Wonder Woman seemed to be the only one who had a really like a plan of this is what I'm going to do to defeat this guy.
Well, not and, only that, I also like the fact that she even says to Batman, why do you bring him back to the city?
Yeah.
And Batman actually had like the answer. This is abandoned. Oh, okay.
And although they did kind of like throw those in to make sure we know like no one's going to die during this fight. It's like, all right, whatever. But yeah, that was cool. I liked how she used a lot of her stuff, used the magic lasso. You know, like I said, I mean, she seemed to have a plan of like how she was going to defeat this thing.
Yeah.
And that was a cool thing of like, this is from this world. It's like, it's not the first time I fought something that wasn't from this world. It's like, oh, how cool. It's like, screw you guys. You think I'm like a rookie? Come on, kids. Yeah, come on, kids. Like, I've been doing this long before you guys started doing this. So don't even get on, you know, get on talking to me. That was cool. I thought the conversation between Batman and Wonder Woman at the end was cool. It's like, we got to get these people together. You know, that was neat. I guess Zack Snyder must have watched Inception and wanted an ending that was Inception-like. Of the, you know, how the dirt just starts to rise. You know, it's like, cut. It's like, oh, you just watched Inception, didn't you? And you wanted a, you know, ending just like that. I thought that was kind of like, eh, whatever. Whatever, Zach. This wasn't the first time someone did that. Don't get crazy.
It also just means that, like, the next film, which the next one's Justice League, isn't it? Not counting Wonder Woman, because that's going to be a prequel.
Well, they're filming Justice League now.
Yeah, so we're going to have to...
Which order does it go? Does it go Wonder Woman, then Justice League? Or does it go...
Or does it go Justice League Part 1, Wonder Woman, then Part 2?
Well, let me take a look here and see if I can see...
Check the tubes of the internet.
Yeah. If the tubes of the internet could let us know which one was which. So... Holly Hunter, I think, was kind of wasted as Senator Finch because she was gone right away.
Even her interaction with Lex Luthor was a bit weird.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't quite
so
get...
So what side were you on? Like, were you on the, we need to make a deterrent against Superman or not?
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. Okay, so Wonder Woman release date is June 22nd, 2017. Justice League Part 1 release date, November 16th, 2017. So, yes, it goes Wonder Woman, then Justice League.
I wonder if the... I wonder if the internet and anyone actually talking about, like, how they actually enjoyed Wonder Woman will change Justice League.
I wonder. Also, side note, or just a note here, Justice League Part 1, 2017, Justice League Part 2, 2019. June 13th, 2019. So that's almost 2 years. You got to wait for Part 2 of something. I thought that's kind of odd. I could see it being a year later, but why is it 2 years later? Wouldn't you just film the whole thing
at the same time?
Yeah, just you film it all at the same time. And I mean, Lord of the Rings didn't do that. I mean, could you imagine that if it was like 2 years in between? It was fine that it was a year. Yes. Heavy sigh is right.
Yeah, I prefer like 6 months even, like what the Matrix did.
Yeah, maybe we don't want to bring up the Matrix. I mean, especially when we're complaining about missed opportunities. I don't think we want to like associate the Matrix sequels with these.
Yeah, that's true. But like other things like Kill Bill when they split it into
yes,
two,
that was good.
Months.
Yes, you didn't have to wait as long.
Back to the 2 years.
Yes, Six exactly. Months. Film them all together and release them. I mean, you release November or whatever it is, Part 1, and then June, Part 2.
Yeah, you got a summer, you got a summer, you got a Christmas, you got a summer, you got a Christmas.
Yeah.
You do your big, big tempo in the summer. You do your introducing character story in the, you know, winter.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I just don't know about it at all.
I did see that they changed the release date of the director's special edition cut.
I did see that. It will be interesting to watch that. I mean, maybe a lot of these complaints that we have, maybe they're cleared up in this director's cut, and they had to cut some stuff, and they just couldn't cut others, which is to me is kind of bizarre because I still saw stuff that could have been cut, but maybe there's more. I don't know. But it's still interesting, isn't it? I can't remember what her name is. So that one actress had a supposedly a pretty decent part, and she was completely cut out.
Janine.
Yes.
Milan.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's. I don't know what she is supposed to be. There's rumors, but like she had a big part, so.
Yes.
And she was completely gone. Oh well.
Yeah.
I'll watch the director's cut just to see if it.
Oh, I'll definitely watch that.
Answer some stuff and, you know, more Alfred, which would be nice. You know.
Yeah, I don't think we really talked about. I really enjoyed Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yes.
I would totally, you know, just let me know when the Batman movie is and then shut up and take my money. Cause I'm in. I mean, all the people that complain about him, oh, how is Ben Affleck going to be Batman? It's like, cause he did it. I thought he was extremely interesting as Batman. And that's the thing with this movie is I think everyone in it, it was really good, and I was really interested. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I don't even think of them changing him. I like all these characters. I mean, like all these actors as the characters are playing. I really wish what they were saying was better. Yeah. I mean, because how they say it is really good.
Yeah, that's the fun bit. It's one of those. But if they said Ben Affleck's going to be in a solo Batman film. I'd be like, all right, cool. Let me know. Here's my money. Reserve a seat.
Exactly. Exactly. And the way I understand it is he's supposed to direct it. So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Allegedly. I hope he's in a couple more. I hope this doesn't scare DC to the point where they just cut everything, but it's.
Well, Box Office Mojo has its estimates for this weekend, $170 million. 400 and change for worldwide. I think they'll be okay with it.
Oh, okay. So it's
yeah.
Bad reviews yeah, didn't actually equate to box office.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Yeah, because they were worried it was going to be, with the bad reviews, it was going to be as low as 120. But yeah, 420 worldwide. It needs to make $800 million at the end of the day. You know, when all is said and done, in order to be successful, and I really don't see how it's not, you know, how it won't do that.
Is that 800 million worldwide?
Yes, worldwide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 800 million worldwide to be a success, and there's nothing coming out over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it will make that back.
It'll make it back. I mean, the next. Next competition, maybe Jungle Book on April 15th, although I have just no interest in seeing that.
I've seen a little bit commercials and the poster, and no interest. I'll probably watch it just to fill out my film a day, but
yeah, you know, there's really, looking at this, there's really not much competition for against Batman v Superman until, and be still my heart, Captain America Civil War in May. Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait until that movie comes out. But yeah, there's some wide releases, but maybe Hardcore Henry, but I just don't think that's.
I don't think that's going to displace a lot.
I don't think that's going to do anything.
I think that's going to lead to a lot of people talking about motion sickness.
I think so too. I mean, I know some people I've talked to are just like, hey, I can't wait to see that movie. And it's like, dude, could you imagine an hour and a half of a first-person shooter like that? I just don't know if I can handle it. And I, you know, just to. The amount of time they did it in the movie Doom with The Rock and Carl Urban. I mean, it's super cool, but it's like, wow, this 10 minutes is about all I can handle.
Well, so I don't know how the Cloverfield, which was shot kind of first person-ish.
Kind of, yeah.
caused a lot of people to
have issues. Yeah, I remember same thing with Blair Witch Project. I didn't have a problem with Blair Witch Project, meaning I didn't have a problem with the motion sickness part. I had a problem with it. It just wasn't a very interesting story. But I didn't have the motion sickness problem. Now, some other people I think I went with did. So I could see it's going to be an issue. Other than, yeah, there's just nothing that's going to compete against it. So even bad reviews, even with the bad reviews, it'll still make money just because people want to go to the movies and there won't be anything else to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. They had an ad for Turkish Airlines before the film.
That's weird.
Well, it was tied into the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the fly to Gotham?
Yeah.
Or fly to Metropolis?
It was Gotham that is and mine.
Oh, that I do have to admit, that is kind of a cool ad. That is cool.
It's cool. And I've actually been on Turkish Airline.
Really?
Yeah. Just smelled of curry.
Is there anything else that was on your notes that you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered as much in more detail than what I even like wrote down, because I just did quick, brief things. And yeah, I think we've dissected this film as much as possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of contrived things, a lot of missed opportunities. The fight, it was really cool. It was neat to see Wonder Woman. I'm not sure if I really like the Death of Superman angle. What what's going to be interesting is they make it a point of saying that Clark Kent is dead. So from this point on, there's no more Clark Kent in this universe unless they have some sort of crazy explanation.
Different timeline?
I don't know, but maybe. I guess you could always say that he could come back saying I was knocked out and I had amnesia or something like that, but that talk about contrived. Jesus, this isn't a soap opera.
That's true. It's not my twin brother.
Yep. So even in these future movies, obviously Superman's going to be in them, but that means there's going to be no Clark Kent storyline. So that'll be interesting. So, okay. Well.
All right. Well,
I guess for the next, I was just looking at the next few weeks. There's not much to watch in the theaters. I'll be start hammering out some more movies on the top 250 and some other maybe interesting movies coming out on, VOD or one of those other outlets. I know right now we're not done with it, so I can't really talk about it yet, but we're watching a documentary on Le Mans and I just forgot his name. Who's in Bullet? God, I feel
Steve McQueen.
There we go.
You Steve felt McQueen like our sister? In Le
Mans. Yeah, I felt, oh my God. That one guy in that one movie. There is a documentary on Steve McQueen and the making of Le Mans.
Oh,
and it's interesting. Steve McQueen is an interesting cat.
We'll have to say that.
Just a quick tease. Steve McQueen was invited over to the house, to have dinner with
Sharon Tate.
He was supposed to be there. Now I'm unfamiliar. How many people showed up? How many of the Manson people showed up?
I think 10.
Interesting. Steve McQueen's kind of a badass. I wonder how that would have gone down. I don't think Steve McQueen would have been too happy about this. And given that Steve McQueen did some crazy stuff, that would have been interesting.
That would have been a history.
Yeah, that would have definitely changed history. That would have been very interesting.
Very bizarre.
Very bizarre. So we can get into it more, but that's just like a tease of Steve McQueen is, yeah, He's an interesting. He was an interesting cat. So that's we're trying to hammer that out, and so that might be something to talk about next week. I can't think of much else. I didn't get to see as many movies as I wanted to because I watched all of Daredevil season two. I know this isn't Bob and Ed talk about TV shows on Netflix, but I would recommend that.
All right. Well, I was okay. out of town all week, so all I got to see was this.
Well, at least it was something.
Yeah, it was something.
Something.
I think that's it for the week.
Okay, so until next week, I guess I'll watch you later.
Here is something you can't understand. I think I just review it, man. Here is something you can't understand. I think I just review it, man. Here is something you can't understand. In Germany, they call it a Kinofilm. In California, they call it una película. No matter where you live, you love movies. So you want to listen to the Bob and Ed Movie Podcast.
Music provided by Spank Diggy and his posse of distinguished individuals.